You can take a seat online. Thank you so much for clicking in and joining. I really appreciate it. I want to, before we jump into the message, I just want to tell everyone how much I look forward to being with you every week. And it's just incredible to be together. And I just want to thank you all for being here. And I, you know, it's been a bit of a week, huh? A little bit. And big week. So we started a brand new series last week called Seize the Day. And so it's a three-part series. Last week, we started off with Kiss the Wave. And so basically what we're going to do is we're taking each week and we're breaking it up basically in the stages of our lives. I don't know about you, but when I look at my life, y'all cool if I sit and we just talk this morning? I break it up in past, present, and future. I think we all do. You know, we look at our life, and it's past, present, and future. And last week, Kiss the Wave dealt with the past, 100% with the past. How you frame the past, how you look at your story, is going to determine your reality right now. And young David, we talked about young David. David was, he had seven brothers. He was the youngest of eight, and dad kind of gave up on him, and brothers didn't, you know, really believe in him. And God picked David, but David had to go back into his past and connect the dots with those things. You know, right before the moment where he leaped up and he took the giant head on, he went back in his life and he said, you know, I had a bear and I had a lion, I've had all these things kind of coming against me, and you know, it wasn't for bad, it was actually for good. And so he reframed it. And then today is all about the present. It's all about the moment that we're in right now. Ephesians 5 is our theme verse. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And so how do wise people live? Next verse. They make the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. That word evil is a bad translation. It actually means uncontrollable. Have you noticed that lately? Anybody having a hard time controlling their schedule lately? Then he goes on to say this, verse 17, therefore don't be foolish, but here's the key. Understand what the Lord's will is. He's like, that's how wise people live. They don't live based on how much money they can make. I think a lot of times we look at our options and we weigh in where we can go in life. It's kind of reverse. We go to school, we go to the campus, and we have these, you know, desks set up, and we look at different versions. We got law school, med school, we got all these things that we can pursue. But I think when it comes to finding the Lord's will, God's saying, I want you to come straight to me about that. Because I believe with all my heart, every person is unique. You know, I don't know how many there are now, 7 billion or more, but you have the only fingerprint of any ever person that's ever existed. I don't know how many that is, but it's billions. And your eyes and your vocal patterns different than every other person that's ever existed. And God's made you specific. And so we try to take specific people and we take standardized treatment or standardized functions for specific people, but you're unique. God made you just the way that you are. And that's why I think it's so important that we go to God for these things early as we can every day. And Lord, what's the task for today? How do I plan my day out? How do I know what I'm supposed to do in the present? Mark Batterson, he wrote this incredible book called Win the Day, and that's where I'm getting some of the material for this. But he talks about how we all have these rhythms in our life. You know, and we see it everywhere. We sleep every day. We wake up. I love coming out to the beach because one of the cool things that you can see is these rhythms. They're all over. The tide comes in, tide goes out. We're one of the only places in the world that has one high tide and one low tide every day. Most places have two. But you see these rhythms everywhere. You see the rhythms in our own, right now, your circadian rhythm. Your heart's beating. You're not thinking about that. It's that rhythm is in your heart. You're breathing right now, and you're not thinking about it. It's a rhythm. The planet's moving right now. We're not thinking about that either because it's on a rhythm. And that's the way God created the world in the beginning. He established it and he said the evening and the morning is going to be the first day. He created time. He doesn't exist in time, but he created time. And so he set everything up on these rhythms. And I think what can happen is when our rhythms get off, our life kind of gets out of whack. For a while there, I had a job about 10 years. I worked at this company. Y'all are tired of that. Does anybody know where it was? All right. It's all I got, y'all. I didn't go to like a formal college. That was my training, and so I get all my stories from there. But I learned more there than I learned in any school, I believe. And I was 21, just got, you know, I was working, and my boss really encouraged me to get my Class A license. So I was about, 5'3". Y'all just put this together here. And I got my Class A license. I never driven one, but I could pass the test. Y'all scared yet? Yeah, never. I had driven them in the yard, but not like, you know, I mean, I'd driven them, but, you know, I passed the test, though. And so day one, 21, my boss called me. I just got my license, Class A. He said, I need you to take a run of water at midnight to Sam's in Destin. And so that happened for like, I thought it was just a one day thing. Well, it turned into a few weeks and it turned into a few, you know, so I was doing that every night. And I was just sleeping during the day, working at night, and it flipped my circadian rhythm upside down. And it messed all kinds of things up. If you ever work night shift, if you ever work night work, you know what that's like. All the nurses and doctors and folks that have worked hard, you know, like when you have been sleeping from 8 to 5 every day and you decide I'm going to sleep from 5 to 8, you know, or somebody else decides it for you, you know, or a 3-year-old, come on, moms and dads, right? Like that baby ain't, you're going to get up when the baby's hungry, right? It messes, you're just like whacked out, you know, it messes your diet up, it messes your sleep up, your stomach, and so these rhythms are so important. And normally what we do the first of the year is we set a bunch of resolutions and all this stuff we're going to stop doing, and we all have things in our life, you know, appetites and things that we click on and go to and maybe put in our body that we know we shouldn't do, but we address it from the outside in normally. I'm just going to work harder, 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 but maybe... maybe there's a rhythm off. Maybe there's a rhythm off, a divine rhythm. Maybe there's some patterns in your life that God has created you to have that you're not doing, like sleeping. If you don't sleep for a few days, I used to, my aunt's here. My uncle started a non-medical transportation company. He was the first paramedic in Santa Rosa County, and so I've worked for them too. And we drive at night a lot. And I would go sometimes 24, you know, 32 hours and not sleep, 48 hours sometimes when it got busy. And you just get crazy, right? Anybody else? Am I the only person? Okay. When your rhythms get off, your life gets out of whack. And so Jesus, I think you came to set the rhythms back. And in Christmas, we celebrate a baby and we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we don't know when he was born. So I don't care who, we don't know. I mean, as far as I can tell, if you do know, send me. But we celebrate it on Christmas Day, is close to the winter solstice because it's the shortest day of the year. There's the least amount of light. And so from Christmas forward, the days get longer and brighter. And so it's the arrival of light into the world. I think he came to set things straight. I think he came, he knew the world was broken. God the Father knew the world was broken. And so he wanted to come, and he said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But there was, when his announcement was made that Jesus would be born, there was one thing specific that he said that he would do. John the Baptist announced it first. He was the forerunner, and he was out in the woods eating locusts and honey. Y'all know John the Baptist? And he showed out from the, came out of the woods and said, hey, guess what? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this theme of the kingdom of heaven, the angel that announced the birth of Christ, he's going to come and he's going to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Jesus himself talked about the kingdom of heaven over and over and over. He says, my focus is not this world. focus is the kingdom, my Father's kingdom. And that's what he came to do. But unfortunately, they killed him, right? I think if he would have stayed, I think he would have done it. You ever thought about that? 33 years, that's how long he lived. He was preaching the good news, healing everyone he came in contact with. But unfortunately, y'all know how the story ends. And then the story begins. But I think when it comes to true life change, we have to look at the rhythms of our life. And I'm finding that the spiritual affects everything else. The spiritual does. You know, and so we set resolutions. I do it. I'm not going to eat so much. I'm not going to drink so much. I'm not going to watch so much TV. I'm not going to eat so much bad stuff, right? And so we focus on the out. But I think if we start with the spiritual, if we start there, the outside stuff normally will be taken care of. Because oftentimes the problem is not the problem. The exterior pain or whatever it is you're trying to fix or whatever it is you're trying to repair is normally not the problem. You got to do the five whys, you know what I mean? Y'all know the five whys? And you got to get down deep into what's really going on, and it's the spiritual. But these rhythms, y'all, these rhythms are everywhere. And we see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus constantly retreated. You notice that? There'd be a crowd of people. He'd be there healing the sick and speaking to the, I mean, the crowds would just show up and then he would disappear. He'd heal somebody and say, "Do not tell anyone I did this." Because he wasn't trying to build a crowd. He wasn't trying to build a name for himself. He wasn't trying to build a following, really. He says, "I'm here to do the Father's business. I'm here to build the kingdom." But even God in the flesh had to rest. Even God in the flesh had times where he couldn't be available to everybody. Jesus. Even God in the flesh got so tired at one point, the disciples came up to him and said, "Hey, Jesus, there's all these people out here, they want to talk to you." He said, "Send them away." Everybody felt like that lately? Everybody's trying to get a hold of me. Send them away. Why did he do that? Because he was listening to that rhythm. He knew, I'm not in a place. I know when I'm not in a place to sit down and talk to a bunch of people. My wife, she knows the indicators, right? When I start getting angry and agitated and bite, you know, just get, oh, and wanting to react instead of, you know, listening to actually really understand, I know that I need to get away. There's this old saying, it's like, ready, set, go. A lot of times we ready, go, and then we got to go reset everything because we didn't wait long enough and we didn't think about it long enough and we just shot from the hip, boom, you know what I'm saying? And then we go draw a target around the wall where it hit and say, "That's what I was trying to do, y'all," you know what I mean? But this rhythm, I can't get it out of my mind. It's this rhythm of action, reflection, action, reflection, action, reflection. You walk the beach, you see it. The waves, they wave, they wash up on the shore, and then they retreat. They wash up on the shore, action, reflection. Jesus did it. He didn't just go, 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 go all the time. He stopped. He listened, he prayed, he went to a garden, he went on top of a mountain, got on a boat. What was he doing out there? Reflection. He would get the download, action. Then he would reflect. And I'm just seeing this. I mean, I knew he retreated a lot, but I think what we do is we work to vacation. And we don't vacation and work from there. Right? We work to rest. We don't work from rest. And that's a big difference. And everybody's been busy lately. Have you noticed that? A lot going on. Have you watched the news this week? I haven't. I've just been out here on this island, you know, watching, looking for eagles and picking up seashells. So I don't know what's going on. To move the world, we must remove ourselves from it. Archimedes' lever. I should have put a picture of this. You ever heard of that? It's this lever that this guy named, I need to say his name right, Archimedes' lever. There we go. He says, if you give me a lever, you give me a solid point, if I can get far enough away from the world, I can move it with just standing on the lever. And by that, what he meant is to really do good work, you have to have this rhythm of rest. You have to remove yourself from whatever it is that you work on, to have time to think, time to clear your mind, time to pray, time to get the download. And then we go back. And it's hard to do in a world that's moving, a city that never sleeps, right? A world that never sleeps is going nonstop. If you're tired, we got a pill for that. You sleepy? Can't sleep? We got a pill for that. Oh, you are sleepy? We got a pill for that. Yeah, you agitated? We got one for that. But maybe we just need some rest. Maybe you've been going so hard and working so hard that rhythm, when the rhythm gets off, y'all, everything gets off. And the rhythm's everywhere. We go to church once a week, right? Kanye said it best. The strong start on. Does anybody know who that is? Kanye West? Feel y'all online? Did y'all get that? The strong start on. It's a rhythm. Has really little to do with buildings. It's a rhythm. It's a rhythm. Jesus' first sermon, Matthew 4, the Sermon on the Mount, about Matthew 4 from Matthew 7. Beautiful. Some of the best few chapters, incredible. He addresses everything in the human condition. He addresses everything in the world. Again, he was coming to bring the kingdom. He was coming to establish his Father's kingdom on earth. And so everything he said, we knew was from God. And there's this point where he starts talking about, well, he talks about money. That verse, you can't serve God in money, mammon in money. We've heard that preached a million different ways. But he starts and he starts talking about all the stuff that we think about a lot. Where we're going to sleep, what we're going to eat, the clothes we're going to wear. Let me read it to you, Matthew 6. Therefore, I tell you, if you're a little worried right now, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat, drink, about your body, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now look at this, verse 26. It gives us an example. Look at the birds of the air. They don't work and strive. But God prepares for him, everything they need. And then he talks about, and so we have this tendency to want to save for the future. We all do. We're humans. Birds and animals don't have that. We do. So we're always thinking about what's to come, right? Last week, half the time, we're half present half the time. We're either in the future or we're back here. See, animals are different. They're just like, they're like four-year-olds. My Ace is just having a freaking party all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just a party all the time, right? He ain't worried about where the food's coming from. He ain't worried about where nothing. Like where he's going to, let's just do this. You know what I mean? And we can't live like that all the time, right? We got responsibilities. You got a lot of people depending on you. But I think the point is when we place ourselves at the seat of responsibility, we're placing ourselves in the seat of God. Because only God can take care of your needs. And everybody sees that now. Only God can fix some of the things going on in this world. And so living like this every day is the rhythm we all need in our life right now. Living like this every day, living from a place of rest, take this opportunity to just take a break, take a breath. Listen to it. What is God? Go outside and what did he say to do? Look for eagles? look at the birds, right? He goes on, he says, you're worried about your clothes? He says, look at the flowers. Now, sometimes we think he's being, you know, he's just, it's an illustration, but what if it's literally, what if he's literally meaning that? If you're worried about clothes, what is, back then, clothes and food, that's all they worried about. He said, if you're worried about your assets, your stuff, you're worried about the wrong stuff. Go outside. Did you create any of that? Mm-mm. God takes care of every single bird. There's not a sparrow that falls to the ground and he doesn't see it. And you are way more valuable than any bird. God loves you so much. And I think he's concerned when rhythms get out of play. Like my son, he's upset or if he's hurting, I'm coming to him quick. I'm going to make sure that I protect him and I give him what he needs and I do all I can in my power. I think God's the same way. He sees what's going on in the world. There's one thing God has never done. Looked down and said, whoop, didn't see that coming. All right, boys, let's get back to the drawing board here. All right. Never done that. Verse 33. This is what Jesus said. This is the rhythm. He says, this is what's important to me. He's like, if you'll make this important to you, you'll be so joy-filled, relaxed, carefree. Because it's a joy that the world didn't give you, and it's a joy that the world can't take away. It didn't come from what you have. It came from who you are. He said, seek first, verse 33. Seek first. What did he say? His kingdom. And his what? And all these things I've been staying up at night worrying about. I've been scared to death thinking this is it. I don't know what to do. I've been saving, scrambling, ready to move out into the country, put up a big fence, never come back. Scared of my own brother, my own sister. The enemy is not in this country. You understand that we are not enemies. We are brothers and sisters. And this is not a time to divide. This is a time to unite under one kingdom. Because you can take your orders and lead from men and women, and that's fine. But I think the way that we're designed is we're meant to coach and help one another. But we all know at the end of the day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And so we put first things first. That's it. That rhythm. We put first things first. And if we don't have this rhythm in our life, I think it's going to affect all the other areas. That we're seeking first his kingdom. We're seeking first his kingdom. What is the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Jesus was brilliant. He took the 600 or so Old Testament laws. There's all these laws. And he put it, and he boiled it down to, I like things simple, y'all. Anybody else? Put the cookies on the bottom shelf, preacher. Come on. I'm short. I can't reach them. Like, make it easy for me. That's what Jesus did. He took Old Testament truths that were hard to understand, and he made them easy to understand. He didn't do away with the law. He said, no, there's a better way to look at it here so that you can understand it. And he boiled it down to one. This lawyer was grilling him and asking him, what's the greatest commandment? And he was just trying to just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And I think it's so simple. When we search for the kingdom of God, we search for people, places, and things. Where's the kingdom? When's the kingdom coming? But I think the kingdom of God is in every decision that we make. I used to really love studying the book of Revelation, Bible prophecy. I was just infatuated with it. I grew up at a church where we would have these evangelists would come in, And it was cool. It was so amazing. They'd come in and they'd have these maps, and they would roll a map across the whole stage, and it'd be like a timeline. And they would say, okay, this is where we are. You ever like go to a park and just like, you are here? I was like, this is where we are. And then they'd be like, they'd do a timeline and be like, and this is where it's all going to end, all right? This is where the apocalypse now happens, okay? And so, and it was always in the book of Revelation, and I got so, I just was a student of it for a while, and then I figured out, all these dudes are always wrong. You know, 10 reasons Jesus is coming back in 2010. Well, okay. You know, 10 reasons the world's going to end in 2000. Oh, well, okay. 9 reasons Jesus is coming back in 99. Like, there's billions of these books out there. They're all wrong. Jesus said it himself. I don't even know. I'm waiting on the Father. But here's the key. There's this thing, and there's this mark of the beast everybody's been talking about. You ever heard of that? Anybody? Mark, I researched a lot of that. I literally loved looking into it. And it talks about this mark on your hand and your head and all this stuff, but the numbers. The number 6 is the number of selfishness, self. And it says in the book of Revelation in the last days, you can't buy, sell, or trade without that mark. So I've been looking for a mark or a chip or, you know, a number or what, something like that. But what if it's every decision I make is selfish? Everything's about me. What I can gain, what my party can gain, what my church can gain, what my company can gain. And so what gets me up in the morning is what I can do for me and mine. And you know what kind of world that is? Not a good one. But what if the world looked like this? I got up every day and I went to God and I said, okay, Lord, who can I help today? Who can I bless? I got a mess going on in my life, but I know there's somebody out there that can use maybe my story or can use my experience, or maybe there's one person that I can help that the mess I've gone through can give them strength. Maybe there's one. It's Jesus always said that. He said the tendency is to focus on the inside, and he would always point people's head out the window. He said, it's out there, y'all. Our real work is out there. We come in here to have a great time, and we go to the Word, and we worship together, and I love being together, but the real work, the week starts today. The real work is tomorrow. And it's loving our neighbor as ourself. It's being willing to challenge maybe things that we know are wrong. But it's following the kingdom of God. And that seemed to be all that Jesus was concerned about, was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And so what does that got to do with rhythms? Well, I think it's simple. I think sometimes there's these complicated answers, but I think it's these simple little answers. How you start your day is so important. How you start anything is important. But it's funny, I read this article about a study that was done in China in 85. And they took the cancer patients and they were treating them with chemo. And this doctor in China decided to treat them at different times. So they took the medications and they switched them around. And they found when they took the medication at different times, it affected them differently. And so medical research shows that if you take a melatonin at 6 a.m., that's probably not the best time. You know what I'm saying? It's rhythms. David would say things like this, early will I seek thee, Lord. When I arise, I will look to thee. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If God is for me, who can be against me? It's starting the day and not doing this first. That's how I start my day. See, I'll just be honest with you. We get woke up by it normally. It controls everything. Wakes us up. That's the first thing we look at. That's the first thing we do. Me. Y'all just don't judge me, okay? I'm just telling. because I got important. I got people needing me. I got people depending on me. I got to check. Something could have happened last night. I got stuff. You know, like everybody, you got that on you every day. I think the key is just starting the day with God. If you can wake up and that be your first thought, if you can wake up and that be the first thing you think about, not the phone, not what you got to do at work, not how long it's going to take you to get there because the bridge is out. Come on, somebody. Can I get one? Come on. Let's hear it. 1-8. Can I get an amen? Amen. Fix the bridges. Come on. Hovercrafts or something. Dear Lord. I love it out here. It's like I literally have, the island's just empty. There's eagles and coyotes and all kinds of, I'm waiting on lions and tigers and bears to come back. People aren't out here, but we got everything else, like living in a national park. I love it, but it's every day. You turn on the TV, it's every day. Something. And God's saying, when you get up in the morning, seek first the kingdom. In all these things. Mark Twain said it like this: if you got to eat a live frog, it's best to do it first thing in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the reality. When you think about getting up and talking to God, it feels like eating a frog, doesn't it? I'm a pastor, and it does for me. Some mornings I get up, or I'll get hit by a bow and arrow by my son in the face, or he'll jump up on a chair and come bomb drop me on the bed, or I can get Seek first the kingdom. That's the principle. Eat the frog. What's important now? When you wake up in the morning, Facebook is not important now. Instagram is not important now. Email is not important now. You need to get your download. You need to seek the kingdom. I need to know, I don't need to know what's going on anywhere else in the world. Don't really, I love everyone in the world, but I don't live in the world. I live in this world. This is my world right here. What's going on here? Seek first the kingdom. And it sounds like, this Bible reading and praying, because I think the way it's been packaged is the problem. Everybody wants to talk to God. Everybody wants to hear from God. Everybody wants wisdom and know what's coming in the future. Who doesn't want that? That's how you make money, right? Come on, somebody. Trends. What's going to happen? Everybody's looking right now. The Spanish flu, 1920. Well, what did everybody do after the flu? Well, that's what we want to invest in. Trends. People look at trends. What's going to happen after all this? What's going to happen tomorrow? Here's the reality of it. Nobody knows. But one person. Did I tell y'all before that I was kind of raised like a, I'm kind of a redneck? Did I tell you, can you hear it in my voice a little bit? I was raised in Baghdad, and my first job was shucking oysters. I was 14. I'd walk up to Nichols Seafood. I'd shuck oysters, and I loved it. Pasco Gibson, he had just taken over the restaurant there down by my house, and so I got promoted from the oyster shucker to the dishwasher when I was 15. And so I washed dishes for about a year, and then I got promoted from there to the fry line. And so I was like the backup fry cook. I got scars all over my arms from getting burned by grease and dropping everything, French fries. But then I got promoted to the head fry cook at 16. Okay, making big money, y'all, $4.25 an hour. And that's where I started. I think I was making $7 or so by then. And you know what my favorite thing was to fry? Frog legs. You ever eaten a frog leg? It's delicious. I know, you can judge me all you want, but until you try it, don't knock it, right? I'm going to have the team come back up. Seek first the kingdom. And all these things will be added unto you. Let me say it like this. You know, oftentimes it's the things that we want to do the least that we need to do the most. And it's best to do those things as soon as we can. And I think everybody's feeling the urgency right now of the moment, of that the world is in. And so our priorities have now shifted. And so what's important now? I'll tell you what's important right now is seeking first the kingdom for your life, for you, for your family, for your children, for your school, for your country, for your county, for your company. Seek first the kingdom. And it's so simple. I think we make it too hard to get to God. We make it too hard to get to God. It's so easy. He just said, believe on me. That's all he said. No, not fill out a card, not have to come and let me put, no. There's, Jesus is the only one on the altar. It's all it takes. It's just believing. And then we get into this new reality, and I think it's when I first became a Christian, I would read the Bible, and I didn't understand it. You know, it was kind of like manna. You ever heard of manna in the Old Testament? He would feed the children of Israel manna every morning. It would come down fresh every day. They couldn't get enough for the next day, only that day. And it was the word manna in Hebrew means, what is it? It tastes like oil. Like, you ever drink a cup of you ever drink olive oil? I used to drink olive oil. I'm a weirdo, okay? It just tastes like nothing. And I think sometimes, you know, when we start off, my story is a little different. You know, I came off a crazy, just had a good run, you know what I'm saying? But had to end, came down, got, I had to make some big changes in my life. And I started reading my Bible, and even the church I was going to, I was like, man, these people are a little weird. And I'm reading my Bible, and it's a little weird too. I don't quite understand it. But keep going, keep reading. Because this is what begins to happen. It's like when you get up and you, right now you're probably doing this. You're getting up and running, or you're going to the gym. You're trying to, you got a resolution. And the goal is that if you do it long enough, you'll stick with it. If you can discipline it, you know, it's 21 days, 30 days, I don't know. How do you form a habit? There's a million different versions of it. But here's the key. If you can push past the discomfort, spiritual disciplines eventually become spiritual delights. And what you used to dread getting up and doing, you can't wait to wake up. What's God going to say this morning to me? What's God going to say this morning about the world I'm living in right now? God is going to speak to me. I know he is. I don't need to hear it from CNN or Fox or anybody else. I don't need I don't need anybody's opinion until I get his. Action, reflection. Action, reflection. Every day, you have to start with that. Because a lot of times we just get up and start running. You know, let's go, 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 go. I'm out the door. A million things. I know every morning what I got to do. But you got to stop. And let God speak to you. Because he will. And he's going to. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you that every morning, Lord, we can wake up, we can look to you. You're the good shepherd. You're the perfect shepherd. You're the only shepherd that's ever lived that was perfect. And you call us your children. And so in this moment right now, if you've never done that, I mean, you've come to church a lot and you've been around it, but it just never really, you couldn't understand it. Well, it's just so simple. Just believe on him. Just do it right now in your heart. If you're watching online, just believe. Because I can tell you, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one's ever going to come that's going to trump his kingdom. Every knee will bow. I want to work for him. I want to be on that team. And if you want to do that, you should, in your heart right now, just believe. Say it. I believe on you. God, I believe, Lord, that you are the answer to this crazy world I'm in right now. I believe, Lord, you are the answer to the stuff in my life right now going on. I believe, come on. I believe, Lord, that you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I believe, God, that you'll open the clouds one day and come back. I believe, Lord, that one day we're all going to sit at your feet. And the pains of this world we will remember no more. You're going to wipe away every tear. You're going to dry every eye. And we're going to be home. But until that day, we have a job to do. Until that day, we seek first the kingdom. Until that day, we put you first above everyone and everything. And you said if we do that, we don't even have to worry about food or water or clothes or coronavirus or all this stuff. Because what we need will come to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this last song.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same.
Let's do this. I want to just invite folks, if you just feel led to pray, just come on down. I feel like there's some folks that feel like they just you need prayer this morning, and I want you to know that this is where my life changed. It was in a moment like this. So let's do this. I just want to say one last prayer over everyone, and then we're going to open up the altars. Father, we just thank you so much. Lord, we thank you that we know that you're in this place, and we know that you're moving. And so, Lord, we just ask that as we go from here, that we would put you first, that we would make you number one, Lord, that we would seek first the kingdom every day, every morning. The first thing we will do, first thought, it's going to be you. We thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.